Call your attention to a passage in the Old Testament, Psalm 130. If you'll turn to that passage, Psalm 130, in your Pew Bible, it's found on page 614. Psalm 130 fits into a series of psalms, about 15 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. They're the psalms that were sung or recited as individuals were traveling up to Jerusalem. As they were making that pilgrimage to Jerusalem during a time of a feast or some event that they were going, they would sing these psalms because they were ascending up toward Jerusalem, but also it was an ascension of preparing for worship. And Psalm 130 fits into this parameter of psalms, but it is a psalm of hope. And today as we are dealing with going into the Advent season and the theme of the presence or Christmas presence and the presence of hope, this psalm fits into that series. So let me read for you from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning, more than the watchman waits for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. May the Lord add his blessings to this, the reading and the hearing of this word. In this psalm, we will see that there are three situations that call for hope. And one solution that's presented for us, this psalm is 8 verses. It's divided up into 4 little couplets of verses. So each of those little couplets fits neatly into a little parameter of a verse that gives a point that we have. And so when we look in this psalm, we see the presence of hope. And that presence of hope that we have that comes through Christ that we celebrate at this Christmas season. And the first situation that the psalmist presents for us is that in the depths of despair, we cry for mercy. And my brother is a few years older than me, and we played a game, or at least he called it a game, of which he would hold me down until I would cry for mercy. It wasn't much of a fun game, but we played it quite often. But in our life, there are many times that we feel that we're being held down and there is a cry for mercy. And this is what the psalmist is expressing for us in this passage. The good thing about the psalms, the beautiful thing about many of the psalms, is they do not explain our suffering. They do not try to diminish our suffering. They acknowledge it. They confirm the fact that they exist. And the psalmist presents for us in this passage that out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. He is in a situation in which he feels the overwhelming flood of everything upon him in the depth in which he had gone. All through Scripture, we have individuals. Joseph, when he was carried away and was in captivity in Egypt, and there, as he was held in a prison, the children of Israel, as they were there in Egypt and crying out for deliverance, Daniel in a den of lions, Jonah in a great fish. All these are Old Testament explanations or stories that tell us about people who are in the very depths, and we see their story, we hear their struggle, we hear their cry, we see God's deliverance in their lives. But we look at our life and we see the situations that are going around and we feel the depths of this Christmas season that's sometimes so much highlighted in the life of individuals. They feel the depth. They feel the depth of the burdens that they feel. They feel the depth of isolation from family. They feel the depth of the fact that they've spent so much of their life pursuing something that just hasn't paid off. At Christmas, there's always that hope that something better is going to happen. And it's like a child on Christmas morning that opens a package and it's not what they wanted. And hope is dashed. And we feel that in ourselves. And as Dr. Fenton mentioned, around this world today, there are thousands and thousands of people groups in which there is no light, there is no hope, there is no presentation of the gospel that gives to them the awareness of the hope that we have within us. And the psalmist says, out of the depths I cry to hear to you. Hear my voice. Notice the things he says. I cry. Hear my voice. Be attentive to my cry. So the first situation that we see that calls for hope is that out of the depths of our despair, we cry for mercy. We cry for hope. The second situation, he says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? And if we were to have everyone in this congregation right now to stand and we were to say, okay, everyone in here who perfectly fulfills the demands for righteousness in your life, remain standing and everyone else be seated. I dare say that everyone in this room would immediately be seated because every one of us knows the sin that's in our life. We know the separation that we have from a holy, righteous God. We know that God in his holiness is so apart from us and that in our sin we're separated from him. And the psalmist expresses that if you do, and he does keep a record of our sin, if you keep it, who can stand? And the answer is no one. No one. None of us can stand. Sometimes the closer we get to God, the more we recognize that separation, and the more we're aware of the need for forgiveness. The further from God we get, the further away from the holy standard of righteousness that is found in him, the more we just think, well, I'm okay. And around our world today, there are countless hundreds and thousands who know that you're here. They know that you're in a church worshiping. They drive by and they say, I'm just as good as they are. And their standard of righteousness is your life. Their standard for what they judge their lives is your life. And I'm the first one to say that if anyone judges their life against mine, they will find that I'm a sinner. They will find that I'm not holy, that I'm not righteous, that I am set apart, I am apart from God because of my sin. And the psalmist expresses that truth, that in the grip of sin, that every one of us seeks forgiveness. In verse 4, it says, but with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. This reminds us of a passage that Paul gives to us in the New Testament from the book of Ephesians, where he says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And the psalmist expresses that very same point of saying that who can stand with your standard of righteousness? Who can stand? The answer is no one. But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. It sounds like the correct ending to that verse should be, therefore you are loved because you are a forgiving God. But the psalmist expresses the truth that when we come to that realization of who God is and who we are in separation from him, that when we come for him in forgiveness, it is not a response of just saying, well, thank you, I appreciate that. It is a response of worship. It is a response of giving of our heart and life. And so the psalmist tells us, with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are to be worshiped. You are to be feared. We're not just a gathering of people, of good people getting better. We're a gathering of sinners in need of forgiveness and finding it in the source of forgiveness that the psalmist alludes to later. So out of the depths we cry. In the depths of our despair, we cry for mercy. In the grip of sin, we cry for forgiveness. And then the third situation, he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman waits for the morning. In our time of waiting, we long for hope. So many times in that waiting time, in those moments in which we're wondering what is going to be the outcome, there's always that glimmer of hope that we hold out, and so many times that hope is dashed. In 1927, there was a U.S. submarine that through an accident was in a collision with a Coast Guard vessel, and the submarine sank to the depths of the ocean. Divers were sent down to go investigate to see what could be done, and when they went, they found that there was nothing that could be done to save the lives of those who were on board of that submarine. One of the divers put his helmet up near the hull of that vessel, and there up in the torpedo room of that submarine, in an area where there was an air pocket, he could hear a tapping on the wall. And in Morse code, there came these words, "Is there any hope?" Sadly, there was none. Out there in our world today, there are people who have tried to fulfill their life, who have the depths of despair that comes in their life. They have the grip of sin that's in their life. They have those waiting times when they're looking to say, is there hope for us today? And the message that comes back from the world when they seek to fill that with philosophy, when they seek to fill that with pleasure, when they seek to fill it with anything else that this world presents, it comes back with the answer, no, there is no hope. It can offer a temporary hope. It can offer something that gives temporary pleasure, something that gives hope for a moment, but for the eternal message that we have. You see, there is a God-sized hole within our heart that can only be filled by a God-shaped person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so in all this world in which we seek after, and we seek after the pleasure, we seek after philosophy, we seek after everything else that this world has to offer, all we find is sorrow. All we find is emptiness. All we find is temporary something to solve and soothe a temporary need. But for that ultimate need that's within our heart, there is no hope found in the elementary things of this world. So our world is in this existence where we're seeking to find something that gives us hope. And Christmas message, when we come to this time of saying Christmas is a time of the presence of hope, it is not just a time of saying, you're going to get by. You're going to make it. I'm going to pray for you. I hope you're going to get better. I hope you make it through. This is not just some self-help six steps to do to make things better for this next year. It is not some philosophy that gives to you an idea of things that you can do yourself, something that you can present in your life that brings together hope for yourself. The message that we have and the psalmist shares for us is that there is despair, and it's obvious. It's here. We know it. You feel it. There is sin. You experience. You know it. There is waiting. There is that time of wondering, and you know it. And that's what the psalmist was looking toward. We're in a waiting time, is what the psalmist was saying. And just like a watchman who waits for the morning, he stands there, he knows that sun will rise again. And he knows the day is coming. The psalmist says, we wait, we hope in your word. And back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there at the time of the fall, there is that first time we hear the message of hope. When God says to Adam and Eve, there will be a child. He will bruise his heel, but he will crush his head. And that is the first time we hear that there will be one who will come, who will defeat the enemy of this world. The one who holds sin, the one who is the instigator, the one who propagates that in our world. There is one who is coming who will defeat that. And that is the message that the psalmist says, this is what we're waiting for. And now 2,000 years, we look back to the message of hope that we have in Christ. And so we have those three situations that call for hope in our depths of despair, in our grips of sin, and in the waiting time. That is the thing, those are the situations that call for hope. But listen to what the psalmist says to conclude this passage. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from their sins. Our hope is found in a person. It's found in Christ. First of all, the psalmist says this: it is in his unfailing love. The unfailing love is a love that is used all through Scripture, all through the Old Testament. That is a word that describes the depth and the durability of God's love. That there is nothing that can destroy, nothing that can take down this love. It is a deep and abiding love. And what God has given to us through this unfailing love, we find in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. It is that deep durability of God's love that holds us through, no matter how deep and the depths that we go into in our despair, his love is even deeper. There is an infinite abyss that we're in, and we need an infinite solution. And that solution is Christ. And so he says to us, it is with the Lord's unfailing love, with him there is full redemption. It is that redemption that we need. It is that coming to have our salvation that is in Christ. Paul also says in Ephesians that it is in him, in Christ, that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Our world today is a world in which there are individuals who are in the depths of despair, in the grip of sin, waiting to find, is there hope? The gospel message that we have and the message that we have at Christmas season is the Christmas presence of hope. For those in despair, there is mercy. For those in the grip of sin, there is forgiveness. For those who are waiting, we have a Savior. We have one who has come, one who was born, who felt our infirmities, who knows our despair, who knows our sin and knows what we're waiting for. And Christmas season is a season for us to celebrate what we have in that forgiveness in Christ. He himself will redeem us from our sins. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is hopeless. The message of Christmas is the message of hope for a dark world. They that walk in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is the light of hope. Today I ask you, is there in your life the depth of despair? The depth of despair over the fact that your family, your finances, whatever it is you're facing in your life, all of those, as deep and dark as they are not near as deep and dark as the fact of your sin. And in the grip of sin, you need forgiveness. And if you're out there waiting and hoping for something to fill your life and to give to it meaning and hope and purpose, there is nothing else out there that can provide what you find in what Christ provides. Because in Christ, He comes to us in the depths of our despair, and He walks with us. Jesus said, I will give to you my Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will walk with you and abide with you. And I hear so many times those who are in the very depths of their life who say, this is the sweetest time of my relationship with God. Because in these moments, I have found His presence to be true. In need of forgiveness, it's only in Christ. Dr. Fenton is going to come and present a time of invitation. And at this time of invitation, what we ask you to do is, if you have come to this place today, and you've walked in the depths of your despair, you've walked in with the lack of forgiveness, and you are searching, that there is one source of that forgiveness, and that is in Christ Jesus. And the invitation is an opportunity for you to come and for us to talk with you further about that, where you can find that source of forgiveness through Christ and come and give your heart and life to live for Him and know that hope that's in Christ. But also it's an opportunity for you to come to be a part of a church family where you can grow in your faith and grow in your knowledge of the hope that we have in Christ. And so that is what this invitation is, a time for you to come and be a part of this church family. And the opportunity is for you. May we stand together, Dr. Fenton.